This morning for our Bible study, I would invite you to turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's read the first four verses of Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Now, Paul is praying for his natural family. He was a Jew, born of a Jew, and he's praying for these Israel, his brethren, his family, sinners who were lost. My desire and my prayer to God for Israel is my family, my friends, those who are lost without Christ, is that they might be saved, that they might come to Christ in saving faith. And then he says in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. They're most religious, he's saying, but they're most lost, but not according to knowledge, not right knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, Romans 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law, the satisfaction of the law, for righteousness, and it's to everyone that believes this gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you will not hear a more instructive, more important message than what's taught in these verses. If you can, by God-given faith, believe, receive, and submit and bow in submission to what is taught here by God's grace, you will not miss the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or salvation that is in Him. Now notice in Romans 10, let's go back and look at these four verses this morning. He says, brethren, he's writing to the church family here at Rome and believers, and he's expressing his desire not only to preach the gospel to sinners, but also to pray for sinners. He says, it's my heart's desire, my heart's will, my heart's affection to pray to God. Pray to God for sinners, for Israel, these who were physically descended from Abraham, who had great zeal, but they were most lost sinners. Now, Paul took every opportunity that God gave him to travel and preach the gospel to many people. Many were converted under the preaching of Paul. Paul was determined to know nothing among sinners for salvation but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And here, when he says, when I can't pray, or when I can't preach, rather, to my brethren, my family, my friends, my neighbors who need salvation, when I can't preach to them, I'm going to pray for them. Now, we can't always have access to sinners to preach to them and tell them the way of salvation. And that is necessary. It's necessary to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ by the preaching of the gospel. God has ordained that to the salvation of sinners. We're commanded to preach the gospel to all men everywhere without exclusion, wherever God gives opportunity, whenever God opens a door. But when we can't always preach to sinners and have access to them to tell them the good news of salvation in Christ, we can certainly pray for them. We have boldness and access to the throne of grace in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 2 of Romans 10, he states the reason why they need salvation. Now, he's not saying they're not religious. Now, remember old Saul of Tarsus, before God made him the apostle, before God made him a trophy of His grace, old Saul of Tarsus was most zealous. He was so zealous that he went beyond the boundaries of Israel, beyond the boundaries of Judea. He went into Syria. He went to Damascus to call out and to arrest those who were calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I bear them record. He said, I'm a witness that they have a zeal for God. There's no question their religious zeal, but they're not knowledgeable of the way of saving grace and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's saying here that these people, his kinfolk, they were most religious, most zealous, but yet they are most lost, guilty. Now, many of you, I'm sure have family and friends and neighbors who were most religious, most self-righteous as these Jews were, but they don't have any saving knowledge of the true Christ of God. Therefore, we can say all are in need of saving knowledge of Christ. You see, sincerity and salvation are not the same thing. We hear people say sometimes, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. My friend, that's not a good statement. It matters greatly what we believe. Salvation is not in sincerity. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, he says, I acknowledge, I bear record, I'm a witness to their religious zeal. But they don't have saving knowledge. Now, in Romans 10, verse 3, he states the problem here. And he uses a very powerful word, for they being ignorant. Now, I know it's not sociable to call someone ignorant, but when it comes to the matter of spiritual truth, we must confess that all men naturally are ignorant of God. They love darkness, not light. They love self, not God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, therefore they have not submitted or bowed or received. They have not submitted themselves unto this righteousness of God. Now that is a key statement throughout the book of Romans, the righteousness of God. Now three things are mentioned here in verse 3 concerning our problem, the sin problem. Ignorance. Ignorance because by nature we're dead in sin. And because of our sin nature, because of the blindness and deadness of our heart, we're ignorant of the character of God as He's revealed in Scripture. We're ignorant of God's true character. What would you say the central attribute of God Almighty as He's revealed in Scripture? I know a lot of people say, well, God is love, and that is true, and God is merciful, and God is gracious. But the center characteristic and center attribute of God is that God is holy. You remember the Scripture from Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And because God is holy, the demands of His holy law is perfection. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If righteousness comes by the law, Galatians 2:21 says, if we can be saved by our law doing, our law keeping, then Christ is dead in vain. No, my friend, we're ignorant of the true character of God. God is holy, so holy He cannot look upon sin with the least degree of favor. Secondly, man by nature is ignorant of his own true character. We think too highly of ourselves, and our thoughts of God are too low. We are ignorant. Man by nature is ignorant of his own true character. We see the central attribute of God is holiness. What is the central? What would you say the central character, the main character of man is? Mankind. Well, my friend, it's sin. It's sin. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. There's none that can produce a righteousness satisfying to God. There is none that understands God. There is none that seeketh after God. We don't understand. We don't seek God. There's none righteous. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The law says, let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. By one man, sin entered into this world and death by sin. Romans 5:12. Do you know anything of the character of your own heart? Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and fornication and these things. They come forth from the heart. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Man in his righteousness, God said, it's filthy rags, away with it. So we're ignorant of God's righteousness, God's true character, what He demands. Secondly, we're ignorant of our own character. We think too high of ourselves. And I know God must reveal unto us what we are and who He is. And then the third thing that's mentioned in Romans 10, verse 3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. Now watch this, and here's the key to understanding the gospel. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're going about to establish their own goodness, their own doing. They're going about, lost sinners are going about to establish the ground of their own righteousness rather than looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called in Scripture the Lord our righteousness. Now notice here it doesn't say that they were ignorant of God's righteousness in this last part. We had that in the first part, but here it said they had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is the righteousness that's provided. And he's talking here about a justifying righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ provides for us by His life and by His death. That's why He came. That's why God was incarnate in the flesh. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He lived the perfect life, honoring every precept of God's law. He did honor the law. He did magnify the law. And in His death, He satisfied the penalty of that law. In the gospel, we have the very righteousness of God given to us freely in Christ Jesus. No wonder when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, learned that lesson, he wrote about it in Philippians chapter 3, when God taught him that righteousness that justifies before God is totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, "I count everything else loss, ruin, rubbish, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." Now, if you have your Bible there, I would encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and you can read of this righteousness of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 6 says, David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God would impute righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." My friend, do you know anything about imputed righteousness? The righteousness that's freely and fully given in the gospel in Christ Jesus. That's why He came. That's why He lived. That's why He died. To honor God's law and justice. To answer the demand of God's law that we could not meet. We're sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now in closing, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Now look at this carefully. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. My friend, are you still trying to seek God's favor by keeping the law? My friend, Christ is the fulfillment of it. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor it. I came to fulfill the law." Every believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ has honored God's law. Christ is the fulfillment, the end, the satisfaction of the law. Righteously, for righteousness to whom? To everyone that believes the gospel. Our Lord said at Calvary's tree, "It is finished." The same word there, that Christ is the end. He's the goal. He's the satisfaction. Christ perfected the law for us. By that one offering, He perfected forever them that are sanctified. By that one almighty offering unto God, He totally put away all the sin of God's elect and justified them by His blood. Now this is so. This is true. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that looks to Christ, that believes Him. This is so to every sinner who by God-given grace, eyes of faith, looks to the Lord Jesus Christ, believes Him, receives Him, trusts in Him as all in all in salvation. To everyone that not worketh, not doeth, it's to everyone that believes the gospel. not just believes, but believes and submits to and trusts in this Lord Jesus Christ, who is made to the believer wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Well, I pray the Lord will give you grace to go back and look at these verses. Romans 10, verse 1 through 4.